Derek Usmon. I'm from the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. I'm an agricultural engineering major with a soil science minor. And today my presentation is on ammonia and hydrogen sulfide emissions from soil manure mixtures in a controlled environment. The main objective of the study was to determine if application rate, the type of soil and manure solids content had a significant impact on the emission rates of both ammonia and hydrogen sulfide from the soil manure mixtures. A few of the acronyms and abbreviations I'll be using today. Some of the main ones, nitrogen, the total solids, and the ammonium, N, which is the total ammonium, the TAN, it's called. A little bit of an overview. I'll kind of start off today with a brief summary of the problem with ammonia volatilization, and then I'll explain the process of it, move into a little bit of the forms of nitrogen and manure, and also how land application of manure affects the rate of ammonia volatilization. Then I'll give you a little background on reaction kinetics before I go into my experimental setup. So the main problem revolves around gases that are escaping from the manure into the air. It's not just manure that causes these problems. As you know, many gases deplete the ozone, but ammonia and other gases from the manure are just a few of the problems. Ammonia volatilization has several impacts on the environment. It leads to increased acid rain production, deficiencies in crop nutrients, and the unavailability of urea for plants to uptake the nutrients. So what is ammonia volatilization? It's the process of ammonia gas moving from the soil into the atmosphere. There are many influencing factors that affect the rate at which this gas moves into the atmosphere. As listed up there, two most important factors are temperature and pH. They both play a significant role in the rate at which ammonia is lost into the environment. In a literature review conducted by O'Neill and Phillips, they found that 168 compounds are released into the air by decomposing manure. And of those 168 compounds, the three of, I guess, most significance are ammonia, hydrogen sulfide, and methane. As I mentioned before, TAN is the total ammonium nitrogen, and that's comprised of both the ammonium ion and the nitrate ion, the NH3. The ammonium ion is what is available for plants to uptake for plant nutrients. The highest risks that you run for NH3 volatilization occurs in light-textured soils at a soil surface pH of greater than 7. At a pH less than 7, pretty much all of the ammonia nitrogen is in the ammonia form, the NH4+ form. So theoretically, anything under a pH of 7, ammonia volatilization shouldn't occur. So that's why it's increased at a pH above 7. Also, you have an increased rate of ammonia volatilization on warm, sunny days following manure application, and also when you have high amounts of residue left in your cropping practices. There's two forms that are available in the soil, organic nitrogen and ammonium nitrogen. Organic nitrogen, when it's in the manure, when the manure is applied to the soil, microbes start to break down the organic nitrogen and convert that into ammonium nitrogen through a process called mineralization, and that's what makes the nitrogen available for plants to uptake for nutrients. The ammonium that's not uptaken by the plants is converted to nitrate ammonium, nitrate nitrogen, which is a process called nitrification, and this causes concern due to leaching. That nitrate ion does have a negative charge on it, and it's repelled by the soil, so what's ever not taken up by the plants is lost down through the profile. Moving on to manure application, there's several advantages of incorporating the manure after you apply it to a field. You have less loss of nitrogen to the air, especially on warm days. You have much faster decomposition of organic matter when it's incorporated because that microbes thrive on the warm, moist environments, and you have quicker availability crop nutrients. You can reduce ammonia volatilization many ways, but two of the most important ways are applying the manure in the late afternoon and then applying manure prior to rainfall. And the main, I guess, point or the main best way to reduce NH3 emissions is to enhance your management practices. A little bit on reaction kinetics. Ammonia volatilization is said to follow first order reaction kinetics. And here's just an equation for an example of that. Pretty much your total ammonical N remaining in the system at time T is equal to what you have at time zero multiplied by your time and then aggregate first order rate constant. So the experimental procedure, just how much of an impact can ammonium volatilization have on the environment? That was kind of one of my purposes, looking at the experiment. With the experimental setup, I chose three independent variables. They were manure solids content of 4% and 8%, application rates of 150 pounds of N per acre and 300 pounds of N per acre, and that's equivalent to about 118 kilograms per hectare and 236 kilograms per hectare, respectively. And then soil type, I used a silt loam and a loamy sand in my study. Each of the trials were replicated twice for a total of 16 trials. And in my study, I only used dairy manure, which I collected from a farm in west central Wisconsin. The dairy manure was my main focus, as opposed to swine manure. Here's a result from my manure analysis. The reason I chose the 4 and 8% total solids content was to obtain some dilutions. My total solids content of manure was about 17%, so an 8% dilution, or 8% total solids content would give me about a 50% dilution, and a 4% solids content would give me about a 25% dilution. And the other manure analysis characteristics are listed up there. For the soil analysis, I used a Waukegan silt loam and a Hubbard loamy sand. The silt loam is characterized by a strong content of silt, about 50% silt content, and the loamy sand has about an 87% sand content. Before I started the testing, I calculated the amounts of soil manure that were needed for each trial. My purpose was to simulate an application rate of 150 pounds of N per acre and 300 pounds of N per acre out in the field. And I assumed that incorporation of the manure would be in the top 6 inches of soil. And then I used that rate for an acre and scaled it down to the size of a petri dish, which I conducted my experiment in. I'll have pictures of that coming up here. Petri dishes was 2.65 centimeters in radius and 1.35 centimeters in depth. In addition to just mixing my soil and manure, I also had to mix water in there in order to obtain my dilution rates. So that played a large role in the rate at which ammonia was lost from these mixtures. The way I simulated the loss of ammonia from these mixtures was to pass wind over the petri dish, and that was obtained using a microtunnel. Microtunnel was 61 centimeters long. It had a rectangular opening in the bottom and also a 5 millimeter hole toward the end, which was used for air sampling to take the samples of both ammonia and hydrogen sulfide. Here's a few pictures. This is the center of the microtunnel, the rectangular opening. And as you can see on the far left picture, this is the size of the opening. I used some binder clips and aluminum foil to kind of prevent the escape of air from my petri dish. And that sets up on top like that. And then the air movement through the system, air movement was followed through with an adjustable flow rate pump. It pumped through about 2 liters per minute. And prior to entering the microtunnel, it passed through a carbon filtration cylinder. And then it entered the tunnel. And my experiment was conducted in an incubator in which the environment was controlled, so no outside sources could contaminate the air. NH3 measurements were collected using analyzers, same with the H2S measurements. In addition to collecting the concentrations of ammonia and hydrogen sulfide, I also collected temperatures of both the manure and soil surface, as well as the temperatures of the microtunnel. And each of the trials ran for about 24 hours. Here's a setup of my lab equipment. Again, a picture of the microtunnel. Up on the top right, you see the carbon filtration system, which the air passed through. And here are my analyzers and the data logger, which collected the data. Emission calculations, these are equations that I used to convert my concentrations of ammonium hydrogen sulfide into emission rates, which were used for my data collection. Statistical testing, I used my three variables in addition to time for my statistical analysis, and then time was the repeated measurement in my ANOVA table, and the total solids by the soil type, by the rate, the application rate, was used as the error term for the significance testing at a 5% level. Means having the same letter descriptor were not significant at a p-value of less than 0.05. And I also administered Duncan's multiple range tests and an outlier test. So here's my data. As you can see, anything with an NS means it's not significant, any of the interactions. So this table points out that the individual the individual variables did have a significant outfact, but when time was used as the error term, none of the variables were significant. So this concludes that time is not significant with ammonia volatilization in terms of concentration, but overall time is significant. So to sum it up, ammonia volatilization is pretty much inevitable. Here's a graph of my data. As you can see on the four trials on the right, my numbering system on the x-axis, the 8 represents the total solids content as well as the 4 on the left, and then the 150 and the 300 represent my application rates, and the 1 and the 2 are my soil types. The 1 is the silt loam and the 2 is the loamy sand. As you can see, the four trials on the right with the 8% total solids had greater emission rates, and that's kind of my main conclusion from this study. So the results with the peak emission rates, as I mentioned before, time did not play a role in emission rates. However, referring back to the reaction kinetics, time is important for rate constants, so concentration is dependent of time, but as far as time for the overall process, it's non-significant, meaning NH3 volatilization is inevitable. The 8% total solids content yielded higher peak emission rates than the 4% total solids. As you can see, the numbers, they were almost double that with the 8% than the 4% total solids. The emission rates did vary between soil types. Looking at application rates in soils, application rates of 150 pounds of M per acre were greater than 300 in the silt loam and vice versa in the loamy sand. And that's just looking at the 8 trials using the 8% total solids. So a result, the heavier application rates are intended for heavier textured soils and light application rates are intended for lighter textured soils. The NH3 emission rates for the 8% total solids contents were nearly double those for the 4, as you can see with the numbers there. And there are 3 trials that never reached steady state, which you'll see in my next few graphs here. And those are presumed to be from mechanical error due to the pump. So I have a set of four graphs here. The first one is looking at 4% total solids in the silt loam. As you can see, the emission rates are relatively low, ranging from approximately between 40 and 80%. For the loamy sand, for 4% total solids, it was also low, around the same values. But moving on to the 8% for the silt loam, you can see the values are much higher. And then moving on to the next slide, the 8% for the loamy sand, those again are much higher. So as my conclusion, as I mentioned, the 8% total solid were concluded at much higher emission rates than the 4% total solids. One last thing about the H2S emissions, no interactions were significant between the soil, the time, the percent total solids, or the application rate. The range is relatively low, ranging from about 1.7 to 6.1 micrograms per second per meter squared. So the source is presumed to be from background concentrations of H2S emissions. To kind of sum it up, what does this all mean to the farmer? NH3 volatilization is bound to occur. Several practices to reduce the impact, apply later in the day, apply before rainfall is expected, and incorporate the manure into the soil. That way you'll try to alleviate the loss that's available with the warm, sunny days. And as mentioned before, enhanced management practices prevent the large amounts of ammonia gas being lost into the atmosphere. For my research, I'd like to thank the Minnesota Agriculture Experimental Station and the McNair Scholars Program at my University of Wisconsin River Falls for funding the project. A few thanks to those people listed there for helping me technical support in my project. So are there any questions at this time? Yes. Yep, 7.79. I did not show the pH. I just focused on the manure because, as I mentioned, the volatilization isn't, if it's below 7, it's virtually no volatilization. So since it was above 7, I just kind of used that. I didn't take into account the manure or the pH of the soils. It could. I guess I mainly just focus on the pH of the manure, seeing that manure volatilization, pretty common in manure. Yes, sir. Uh, I think water has a big part to play in that. When you increase from 4% total solids to 8%, you had twice as much or twice as less water. So the 4% total solids had twice as much water as the 8% because you had to dilute it more. So I think that's why the 8% were higher. You don't have as much water in there, and that doesn't tie up that ammonia that's being lost. Yes, ma'am? What was that again? Just two application rates. I chose 150 because I wanted to have two application rates. Replication rates. I just had two replications just with the amount of time. I didn't have time to make any more replications, seeing that each of the trials ran for 24 hours. It took a considerable amount of time to get all the trials completed. Yes, sir? I did not calculate at the end the differences. I just kind of took into account how much was emitted at certain time periods, so I didn't take into account from when I first started to when I ended. I would think that would play maybe a little bit of a role because obviously the more air you're going to have passing over that surface, it's going to dry out faster, and you're probably going to have less emissions coming off the longer you let the trial run. Yes, sir. I had the same ammonia concentration, it was just more water in that. I used the same manure for each of the trials. Am I answering that correctly?
Well, I guess how did you get it from 4% solids? Did you add water to the manure?
Yes.
So then you actually diluted out the ammonia concentration?
Yes. Right. I would expect to see the same results. I think when you have more, the total is a percent solids. With mine, the 4% had obviously twice as much water. So I think, as I mentioned, the volatilization can be decreased with if you have rainfall after you apply. So I think you'll see the same with other ways. Yes, sir? Yes, because if you incorporate the manure, say I hadn't used my trials using the 6 inches of incorporation in the soil, that manure would just be sitting on top, and so you'd have increased ammonia volatilization with it just sitting on top rather than incorporating it. So if I would have put soil in the petri dish and put manure on top of it, my emissions would have been a lot greater because all that manure would be sitting on top of the soil underneath. Any other questions? Thank you.